Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Wow. Drink of the podcast. Yes, you heard that right. We're not doing a soda tonight. I had a couple of you guys reach out to me asking if I've heard of Liquid Death, and weirdly enough, I have. And I was thinking about doing one a little bit later in the summer, but I thought, you know, what the hell, let's do it. So tonight we're doing Bury It Alive by Liquid Death, and I have to say, this is really good. I will be the first to admit, as much as I try to be a drink snob connoisseur for you guys, I'm not particularly super picky when it comes to these flavored like sparkling waters and stuff like that, but this is really good. It's carbonated, it's light, the flavor is a hint of it. It's not like right in your face, and I really like it. I have to say, I think their tagline is amazing. Murder your thirst. It says this ruthless tall boy of flavored sparkling water has a twisted plan to use natural agave and exploding bubbles to murder your thirst and recycle your soul. I really like this. So they're actually out of Los Angeles, California, and it's my understanding that, like I said, the tall boy glasses, it's my understanding that the guys that got into it and started this obviously wanted to create something funny, but wanted to create some kind of a drink that looked somewhat like in the drinking game. It sounds like some of their backstory. They used to drink, and then they got sober, and they were tired of always kind of saying the same thing when people always would ask them, why aren't you drinking? So they set off to create a drink that to put in cans that looked like they were drinking something, but they're really not. So I got to give it to them. These cans, I've seen a couple of other of them, are really cool looking, and I mean, I would get more. But their website even says they are just a funny beverage company who hates corporate marketing as much as you do. Our evil mission is to make people laugh and get more of them to drink more healthy beverages more often while helping to kill plastic pollution. And that is another thing that they actually have on their can too. It says, we donate a portion of the profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution, which is kind of amazing. So I like it. This one, and its ingredients, it has passion fruit, raspberry, blackberry, hibiscus, and black cherry, and I have to say, if you're a berry flavor person, you guys got to try this out. Really good. Like I said, I haven't really personally got too immersed into these sparkling waters quite yet. They are, the couple I have had, they are good. And I would have more. But yeah, I really like it. Before I give you guys a little bit more about Liquid Death, I would give it, I'll give it an 8.6. 8.6. And I believe that's one of our first sparkling waters I think we've done on here. But yes, liquiddeath.com, they got a lot of cool things. They tell you about all of their different beverages they have. They got really cool merch. And then they have articles and stuff you can read up on, just like a lot of places you can, websites and stuff. They tell you where to buy. They got a water quality report. You can contact them. They got store, online store and everything like that. And some, really cool content as well. So definitely go check them out. If you've had them before, let me know what we should try next. And if you haven't even heard of them, go check them out. Like I said, go to liquiddeath.com to find out where you can get one. They are sold individually and also in packages. Liquiddeath.com. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Yeah, so with that, not a ton to not a ton, or I shouldn't say not a ton, not really anything to report on as far as Tommy Town is concerned. The only news to report for our Tommy Sports specifically was we actually have some more Tommy Awards to announce as the student athletes celebrated the third annual Tommy Choice Awards on Monday, May 6th. So, excuse me, without further ado, sophomore Amber Scalia of the women's basketball team won Women's Athlete of the Year, while graduate student Anthony Rahim won Men's Athlete of the Year. The other finalists on Men's Athlete of the Year were Alec Rasmussen of the football team and Lucas Wallen from the hockey team. Sorry, I don't know why. Okay, here we go. And then after that, and then we have another finalist for the Comeback Athlete of the Year for men's teams was Johnson Fala. He was a finalist, didn't win, and then Comeback Athlete of the Year for women's teams, Jordan Lamkert was a finalist. And then Coach of the Year went to Rico Blasi of the men's hockey team. The other finalist was John Tower of the men's basketball team. Excuse me. And then the Individual Community Service Award was given to Will Burke of the football team, with Jacob Wildermuth, another football player, as a finalist. The Team Community Service Award and the men's teams went to the football team. And then some other more fun ones were Best Record-Breaking Performance. And men's basketball, Parker Bjorklund becoming the first 1,000 point scorer in the D1 era, and women's basketball's Jade Hill becoming the first 1,000 point scorer in the D1 era, were both finalists. And then best moment or play of the year, Jade Hill's three-pointer buzzer beater against Oral Roberts for a one-point victory, and second place at the time in the conference standings for women's basketball was the winner. Other finalist, was Riley Bartz's game-winning goal against number 9 St. Cloud State, leading women's hockey to a 5-1 victory, and football's homecoming win versus Butler with a 6-play defensive goal line stand inside the 5-yard line as time expired. Men's hockey was a finalist for the Academic Team of the Year, while women's basketball was a finalist for the Academic Team of the Year for the women's teams. So, yeah, a huge congratulations to all of them. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed one. Ella Berger was a finalist from the women's hockey team for of the women's teams the first year of the year, meaning the freshman essentially. So yeah, congratulations to everybody that won and all the finalists. It's a huge deal, and honestly, stay tuned for more information as we get closer to summer. There will probably be more stuff coming out on the football team, and then I don't think it'll be long until we'll be start getting some information on some of the non-conference games for basketball, hockey, and all that sort of fun stuff. So, just like usual, moving right along for our local business shout out of the podcast, went with something fitting. It's been getting really nice out, people. It's borderline time. It's almost Memorial Day, so it's almost time to get out on the lake. So we're going with Tally's Dockside. They are White Bear's boat rentals, barbecue, music, and more. There is so much to do. It's located at 4441 Lake Avenue in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, right next to Kowalski's and right down the street from the VFW. Like I said, they've grown so much just within the last couple of years. They've grown into a barbecue area and restaurant. They usually have some very good live music. They have boat slips. I'm going to be completely honest, I don't have a ton of information on that, but they got you can they have slips, and then they actually have pontoon boat rental, fishing boat rental, kayak paddleboard rental, guided boat tours and rental and activities and stuff like that. Yeah, really, really cool area. So, like I said, as we get closer to officially being spring and getting kicking off the summer, definitely go check them out. And like I said, I don't have personally information on it, but definitely go on to their website. Their website is actually C Charlie G George Hooks, so cghooks.com. And you'll be able to get all of your information there. They are open May 1st to August 1st. Boat rental 8 a.m. to dusk, barbecue restaurant 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and the bar 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. And then they have separate hours for September 1st, end of season. But we're not going to worry about that because it is hardly spring here. So go check them out, cghooks.com. And then they are also on social media as well. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. So yeah, that is what we have on Tali's Dockside. Go check them out and give them a buzz. Excuse me. So, getting into the NFL or NFL NHL playoffs. The playoffs are starting to look, for the most part, what I've predicted. Really, the only thing that didn't pan out the way I'd hoped so far was the Maple Leafs beating the Bruins, the Panthers earlier tonight took a 2-1 lead over the Boston. Nope, don't know. They don't know about that. Rangers have a commanding 3-0 lead over the Hurricanes. Not ideal, but do need the Hurricanes to win four straight games to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But so far, I had the Panthers and Bruins playing, but unfortunately, I'm rooting for the Panthers, even though I really wanted the Maple Leafs in this, because screw Boston teams. But on the Western Conference, everything so far is looking pretty much exactly how I thought it was going to go. I picked the Stars over the Golden Knights. We had the Avs over the Jets. We had the Canucks over the Preds, and the Oilers over the Kings. Now it's just a matter of, the Stars get taking advantage of the Colorado Avalanche, which earlier tonight they were able to tie up the series 1-1, and the Canucks currently holding, excuse me, a 1-0 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers. Truthfully, just need the Canucks to continue to win. I mean, like I said, I'm what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I am, 7 for 8 on my picks coming out of the first round. Obviously, the one I got wrong is a huge deal because they went on and they were my pre-playoffs pick to win the entire thing. But all things considered, still not doing bad. Like I said, I kind of had most of these series, these second round series, being pretty tight, going 6, 7 games. So I'm just gonna have to wait and see here. Like I said, hopefully the Stars, Canucks can continue to roll, as well as the Panthers ousting the Bruins before screwing up too much of the bracket, along with the Hurricanes to get their butts in gear. And then with that, we move on to the NBA playoffs. And holy crap, what a start to the playoffs for our beloved Minnesota Timberwolves. To be able to go into Denver and win two games in the fashion that we did, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I actually remember talking with some close friends before this series started, and essentially said, I still like us to win this in 7 games. And I was completely honest. I said, I think we'll steal one of the first two games, but I liked our chances to win game two more than I liked our chances of winning game one. And to be able to come out and steal both of them is huge. It'll be, if we continue to play the way we've been playing, defense these first 6 games to start off 6-0. I mean, if we do that, our biggest opponent is ourselves, truthfully. It's cliche and it sounds silly and whatever you want to make of it. But it's true. It's true. I think, we the first 2 games against the Nuggets and the 4 games against the Suns, we were faster, we were quicker getting out in transition, getting those points, making smart shots, and then playing stout defensive basketball. And if we continue that, I mean, and think about it this way. The Minnesota Timberwolves winning those first 2 games really allow us to retain home court advantage if the Denver Nuggets were able to win game three or a game four at home. Should the Nuggets win games three and four, which I don't see it happening, they would re-get that from us. But yeah, truthfully, if I'm being completely honest, I think this series is over. I think the fact that we won those first 2 games, it's over. I don't care how good you are, if you're the defending champs or what. It's tough. I mean, because after the first 2 games, there's 5 games left. So to have to be in a position where you lot not only did you lose home court advantage, but now you have to win 4 of 5 games, playoff basketball. That is very, very, very hard to do. So the Timberwolves are putting themselves in a good position to be successful. And truthfully, hopefully we can get this series over rather quickly, and the Thunder and Mavericks can duke it out. Watching those first 2 games, I think they match up pretty good. The Mavericks stole home court advantage winning game two earlier tonight. So hopefully, I had the Mavericks, I think, before this winning in 6 games. So should that go the distance and the Wolves are able to win in 4 or 5, that should give them a couple days of rest to kind of get things in order and all of that, excuse me, fun stuff. And then as of, holy crap, I can't believe the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Boston Celtics in Boston, of all places, last night to tie the series 1-1. I actually, right after that game happened, I remember texting not too long ago one of my friends. I was like, "So, are the Cavs legitimate to knock off the Celtics, or did the Celtics just have a really, really, really bad game?" And I think it was a little bit of both. I think the thing about this series for me is Darius Garland is, like, I don't want to discredit the talent that they have on that team. Darius Garland is a dog. Donovan Mitchell is very good, and they have some veteran presence on there. I forgot Tristan Thompson's still on the team. and they have some guys like that. But I think talent-wise, the Celtics are just a far and better team that should win in four or five after last night's game. Maybe the Cavs have what it takes to push it to a six game. I would be surprised if this thing goes seven games, just because I think on paper, the Celtics are a talented and better team. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And then New York has a not so interesting two game lead over the Indiana Pacers. Should be a fun series, and I'd love to be able to see the Pacers come back and make things interesting, and with a 2-2, excuse me, 2-2 thing after the first four games. And truthfully, I guessed both of these teams wrong. We talk about me going 7-for-8 in the NHL first round. In the NBA first round, I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. The only one I got right on the Eastern Conference was the Celtics. I thought the Magics were going to take care of business in seven. They didn't. I had the Bucks winning. I was wrong, but I didn't realize the Bucks were going to be playing without Damian Lillard and Giannis as much as they did. And had I known that, I probably wouldn't have picked the Bucks. But hey, I did. I'm not making excuses. Things happen. Got that wrong, and then Jalen Brunson proved me wrong. I said in order for the Knicks to beat the 76ers, I believed the 76ers was a better team, and I said that the Knicks were too Jalen Brunson dependent, meaning he needed to be on with fucking with 40-point games every single night for them to win, and that's exactly what he did. So hats off to the Knicks for proving me wrong. All I really want from this Pacers and Knicks series is for it to be a close and fun series. But yeah, before moving on, did also want to shout out to the Timberwolves. So not only did in 2024 do they have the sixth man of the year in Naz Reid, not only do they have the teammate of the year in Mike Conley, but now they officially have the defensive player of the year in Rudy Gobert and the social justice champion in Karl Anthony Towns. So a big year for the Minnesota Timberwolves, who not only made the playoffs with the third seed, took care of business in the first round by sweeping the Suns, have a 2-0 lead on the defending champs now, but have four award winners, which is huge. Just earlier tonight, I believe, it was announced that Nikola Jokic won the MVP. And they also, there was a note that Anthony Edwards actually finished seventh in MVP voting for the 23-24 season. And it actually says here Anthony Edwards received six total votes, including one as high as second place for MVP. So that is a huge deal for the 22-year-old. Excuse me. So now, before we get on to the next topic, somebody asked me, and I kind of already touched on it, but I do want to shout them out because they did ask me. Chaz wanted to know, Jack, who's the Timberwolves' biggest competition to beat them at this point in the playoffs? And truthfully, Chaz, that's a great question. I really, really, really do believe our biggest competition, as cliche as it is, and I said it earlier, is ourselves. If we play defense and if we conduct our offense the way we did those first two games, there's nobody that we shouldn't beat in, four, five, six games. But at the end of the day, I think at this point, in my opinion, our biggest competition are the Boston Celtics. I think the Thunder, as good as they are, they're young and they haven't been making a ton of they haven't been making a ton of bad mistakes. But I think as the playoffs go on, I think the inexperience versus experience starts to show a little bit. I don't think the Mavericks have the size to, excuse me, the size to play with us. I think if the Mavericks are able to pull off the win, which I think they should, neither of those teams concern me all too well. And then in the Eastern Conference, I looked at the Cavs. The Cavs, I don't think have a ton of height. I mean, I looked up today. We have five players on our roster that are 6'9" or taller. We got Rudy, who's 7'1". We got Cat, who's 7 foot, and then Naz Reid, Kyle Anderson, and Jaden McDaniels are all 6'9". So when you think about that, and all five of those guys being offensive threats, and playing sound defense, I think the only team that really can compete with us in size is the Celtics. And even then, I think, Al Horford's actually only 6'8". So they got Kristaps Porzingis. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Hopefully, I'm hoping the Timberwolves prove me wrong with my pre playoff prediction and may of making it to the championship. But gotta win two more games. And truthfully, it'll be a lot easier for us to win two more games of the next, what, five, instead of the Nuggets having to win four of the next five. So, with that, didn't really get much of a question, but a lot of people reached out kind of asking me to talk about Austin Reaves. So, for those of you that haven't heard recently, I don't even remember. I think it was the Pat McAfee show. I don't know how he got, I don't know how the context of this or how they got on this topic, but Austin Reaves went on the record saying, "I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. All you've got to do is catch the ball and run north or south." So a lot of people just kind of reached out, wanting to know if I had heard of it, and overall what I thought about it. And yes, I've heard of it. I've been reading about it a lot, and hearing a lot of different people's opinions. And truthfully, I can't help. My first thought was I can't help but think this is just freaking Austin Rivers's way of being in the media. I don't think he's officially retired from basketball yet, but he was most recently on the, I don't know if he was on a team this year, but he was most recently on the Timberwolves last year. Excuse me. So I don't know if he officially retired. I think this is something that he's just reaching for, but I think there are some things you can dissect into this. So I understand what he's saying, because I'm sure he's talking about guys like, I'm sure he's talking about LeBron's, he's talking about Zion Williamson's, he's talking about Anthony Davis's, he's talking about these big guys, because there is something to be said where you look at some of these taller wide receivers and these big tight ends, where if you're big enough, you just got to be taller and you got to catch and be able to run and those kind of things. But I think at the end of the day, what he said was just plain ignorant. I think you look at the skill set it requires to be successful in the NFL versus the NBA, and they're completely different skill sets. Like being able to shoot a basketball, the mechanics of shooting and basketball IQ and everything like that is completely different than route running. And like, sure, does speed play into it? Yeah. But at that level of a professional level, you have everybody kind of up there. Now, the one thing I did want to point out in this argument, a lot of these, I'm hearing a lot of different people saying, Well, what the hell? He's really fucking stupid because, on one hand, you have a very physical sport and another sport where if they get touched, they flail. And as much as I agree with that, I think it's dumb, stupid, and ignorant to not say basketball is somewhat of a physical sport. And let me explain why I say that. You got. And I'm saying this because I've been following him since I was a kid. You have 6'9", 200 and I think 55 pounds of pure muscle. LeBron James, even at 38 years old, running with a full head of steam down the court. You're telling me, like, if you're telling me you are willing to stand in front of that and try to draw a charge, you're fucking insane. Like, some, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that it's as physical as the NFL because it's not. I think to say there's not physicality in basketball is dumb, ignorant, and stupid. And I think part of the thing for me for Austin Rivers is the number he chose. I think if you, I think, and again, this is, I mean, I'm sure he was probably strategic with this. I think if you would have said 10, 20 guy, 10, between 10 and 20 guys, nobody would have probably batted an eye. But because he said such a big number, it begs the question. It's like, well, could they really? Because, like, I look at some guys where, and another, oh my gosh, I forgot the size, height. Height matters in the NBA. So the average, I looked it up. The average NBA player is 6'5". Okay, 6'5". There are running backs in the NFL that are 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", 5'11". They're not even 6 foot tall. Even though those guys are fast, they could not play in the NBA. They would be swallowed up. They would be getting abused in the paint. They would, like, there are guys that are taller than them, that are just as fast as them, and those are guys are just going to get swallowed up. Now, that's not for all of it, but I think, again, I think what people get so caught up on is you're trying to compare apples, and there's another apples and oranges scenario. So for me, I don't think I wouldn't, if I was Austin Rivers, my biggest thing is taking out the 30s. But I would say, yeah, I would agree. I agree with him, and I don't, because I do think there are some players in the NBA that you could put in the NFL right now and they would thrive. I also think there are some players in the NFL that you could put in the NBA right now and they could thrive. But again, I think you have to think about, are they, for me, it's, are they an athlete or are they just very good at what they do? Because there are some players in the NBA that are freaks of nature, but they're good at basketball. They're not great athletes, so they probably wouldn't translate, and vice versa. So, those are my thoughts on that. And then, yeah, before we let you guys go for the night, the last thing I had on my list to talk about with you guys, the Vikings. So, not a ton of excuse me, news to report on for the Vikings. I believe tomorrow, guys, to earlier today maybe or tomorrow, rookie mini camp starts for the Vikings. So JJ McCarthy will be there. All the guys that we drafted, all the undrafted free agents and all those guys will report either today or tomorrow. I can't remember. But I'm excited. Guys, I gotta say, I'm excited. I don't think JJ McCarthy will be our starting quarterback come week one unless something crazy happens. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I also think we'll have a better judge by the end of the month, hopefully by the next podcast, by next week. The Vikings NFL season schedule should be out. I have on good faith that they should be released on May 15th. Don't quote me, don't shoot the messenger, but that is what I heard. From a reliable source that I follow. But yeah, hopefully we should be able to look at that, dissect that on the next podcast and go from there. But yeah, like I said, I'm really excited to see the likes of, the Kyrie Jackson, Dallas Turner, JJ McCarthy, see how they do in rookie mini camp. And then I can never remember how long rookie mini camp is. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how their play translates. And then, oh, I did want to remind everybody. A lot of people are asking, even though the Viking or even though the Even though the schedules aren't out, how do we see who the Vikings play? So if you actually go to ESPN.com, go to the Vikings page, if you scroll down a little bit, you can click on a link that'll show you the 2024 regular season opponents for every single NFL team. And it'll just show you who they're going to be playing home and who they're going to be playing away. They don't tell you dates, weeks, byes, anything like that. But at least we know who we're going to play. And truthfully, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I am not all that concerned from the teams we're going to be playing. But again, way too early to predict. I'm not going to be giving any predictions. So yeah. That is what I have for you guys. Excuse me, tonight. Before I let everybody go, do want to say one last thing. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife. Happy Mother's Day to my beautiful mother-in-law and my mother. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. I hope all of you get spoiled. Yeah, I can't, Mother's Day, Father's Day, as far as I'm concerned, are just as big as holidays as Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgivings, and all that kind of stuff. So I hope all the mothers that are listening, and the mothers of all of the listeners for this podcast are celebrated and treated well and remembered and thought of this beautiful weekend. And lastly, just want to remind you guys, we do have some pretty exciting stuff coming up within the next couple months. I'm going to be working on specific announcements for you guys, but we have some really cool stuff that I'm working on for the start of the football season, and then hopefully for the month up to that, some other things as well. So with that, I will leave you guys with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are @miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND @gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, Mini.